As we've gone through this, that there is so much involved to our salvation, so many facets. And we want to understand, too, that our salvation, in terms of passing from death unto life, obtaining eternal life, that it happens at a single moment in time when we trust Christ as Savior, when we repent of our sins and look to Him in faith. But in some ways, I think we almost have the thought, well, that's I've got it. I've got my ticket. That's where it ends. But in God's eyes, and the plan that God has for us, is that's really where it begins, that we're born again, and so now we have new life in Christ. And so we want to think of it in that way, that the Lord wants our salvation to encompass all of us and every part of our being. And we can think of it, someone has described it in this way, that the Lord Jesus Christ, by what He has done on the cross, by His work in us, that He saves us first of all from the penalty of sin. That's justification, that we're saved, we don't have to fear eternal torment anymore. And then there's the second part, that this is our daily life through our Christian life, is where He saves us from the power of sin in our daily life. And that's the idea of sanctification. And then at the end, when he brings us home with Him, to be with Him forever, that's where He saves us from even the very presence of sin, where we have a new glorified body, where we don't even have a sin nature anymore. What a blessing that'll be when we don't have to fight with that anymore. But it is that thought, that's the glorification, where we're saved from even the very presence of sin. So what we want to look at this evening is the concept of sanctification and what it means to us as a believer. So let's pray, and then we'll get right into our study. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. We pray You would help us to understand this principle of sanctification, what it means, how we are to understand it and apply it, Lord. Just pray that we would You would enable us, that Lord, that we might be cleansed and made more like You each day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so the idea of sanctification, if we were to define it, is to separate or to set apart or appoint to a holy, sacred, or religious use. That's the idea of sanctification, where you have something that it might be for common use, but then it is set apart for something special. And we see the first mention of anything that is sanctified is found in Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. And this is at the beginning of the world. The Lord finishes creation. Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 2, we'll read. It says, "On the seventh day God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made." And so it's the idea that we see that to sanctify is to set apart, to make special. That all the other days were days that He worked, but then the seventh day was the day of rest. And it's something we understand, that God doesn't need to rest, but we understand really the principle that he didn't do it for Him, He did it for us. And that sense that we have from that. But it was sanctified, it was made special, it was set apart for a certain use. Now we see that throughout the scriptures. There's many different references, but I just want to touch on a few. If you turn with me to Exodus chapter 28, Exodus chapter 28, beginning in verse 40, it says, Exodus 28, "Send for Aaron's sons, thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets shalt thou make for them, for glory and for beauty, and thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother, and his sons with them, and shalt anoint them, and consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office." And so we have this idea that they were anointed, they were consecrated, and they were sanctified. That it was, all those things are related, but it was the whole process, that they are set apart. That there was this special ministry that they were supposed to do. And so the Lord wanted them to be sanctified. And then we see finally, if you turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 1. This is the Lord speaking to Jeremiah at the beginning of his ministry, Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. And this is the Lord speaking to Jeremiah, Jeremiah 1 verse 5. It says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." But the Lord, in His foreknowledge, He knew Jeremiah, and it was something from His beginning that the Lord had a plan for His life, that He was going to be a prophet to His nation and to other nations as well. And so, we want to see that in that sense, that sanctification is to separate, that there's this, something special that the Lord has planned for us. That really, we want to see that as we've studied last week and as we'll study in later weeks, the idea that the Lord has this whole plan set out for us as a Christian, that this is what He wants us to do, that it isn't, sometimes we sort of think, well, I just kind of kill time till the Lord takes me home. But we understand that, no, we're to be busy about the Lord's work. There is something that we are to do, and that's the sense that if the entire focus of our Christianity, of our salvation, was just to get us to heaven, then as soon as we're saved, then the Lord would take us to heaven. There'd be no point for us to still be here. But the fact that He leaves us here, we realize that it's for a purpose. And the more we study, the more we find that out. And our sanctification is a big part of that purpose. And we see as a believer that in one sense, we are positionally sanctified upon salvation. That when we are saved, that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus, that we've been given a new nature, we are adopted as God's children, and that the idea of where it speaks of the adoption of sons, we actually understand it to be that we're more than just children to God. It's the idea of a son is that a son can actually speak with the authority of the Father, that we see that throughout the scriptures and even in Middle Eastern culture today, that's the way it was, that a son could speak with the authority of the Father, that we come as His representatives in that respect, that even as Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. And so we understand that we have a new mission, a new purpose. Our purpose, of course, is to be conformed to the image of Christ, and our mission is to be ambassadors for Christ, that we're to be His representatives, that it's the understanding that we have a high and a holy calling, which upon our salvation, that there are many things that happen that prepare us for that. And we are eternally set apart for God from salvation onward, that we're taken from the world and we're separated unto God. We see this idea, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. And verse 9 and 10 give a great list of all these different things of wickedness and things. And it says in verse 11, "But such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." And that truth that we have, that we were sinners, but now the Lord has cleansed us, that we're justified, and He has set us apart and prepared us for a new work, something that we think we're not even worthy to do, but because of His grace, He allows us to do that. And it is based upon the finished work of Christ. It is, we are sanctified by His blood. If you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, and beginning in verse 10 of Hebrews 10, it reads, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." And so we have that sense that we are sanctified, And the thought that positionally before the Lord, that when He sees us, all He sees is the blood of the Lamb, that our record is clean, that it's like we've never sinned in His eyes, that we're holy in His sight, that it's something that is so beyond our comprehension, but yet we understand the power of the blood in that way, that there isn't all this baggage that would disqualify us from being used of the Lord, that He's taken care of that, that He's taken it out of the way, nailing it to His cross, and so that now we're able to serve Him. And that is the thought that we have, that we are, we understand that we are referred to as saints throughout the Scripture, and we have the idea of, well, a saint is someone that does these great things, and I think, well, I do the best I can, but I'm not a saint. But it's the understanding that we have through the Scriptures that that's what we are in Christ Jesus, and we understand that that's what we're called to be, that we're children of God, that we're to be like Him. It says in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2, it says, "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours." That we're sanctified and then we're called to be saints. That we have this new life that we are to live. And it is the thought of that the Lord has this plan, and it's actually a real encouragement. And you can think of that in your own life. That if someone talks to you and they act like you can never amount to anything, that you're never going to get anywhere in life, you're always going to stumble and fall and be a failure, then inevitably it tends to make you think, well, I can't do this. I might as well give up. But it's something with the Lord that He has this thought that He sees us as holy, and that He has this plan for our lives that He wants to see accomplished. He believes in us. He has this thought. He knows it's not of our strength, but he sees our life. He says, "Well, I know what I can do with it if I'm given the chance. If you yield your life to me." And so that thought that we're called to be saints, we're called to be representatives of the Most High God. We think, "Well, I can't do it," but the Lord says, "Well, I know you can't, but I'm going to give you the strength to do it." And that is the great blessing that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see that in one sense we're positionally sanctified forever upon our salvation, but we see from the Scripture that in another sense, that after our salvation we are practically and progressively sanctified, that we are set apart, that the Lord has given us the means to become a holy people that are usable by God, that He has given us a new nature that is created after righteousness and true holiness. He has given us His Holy Spirit that can empower us so that we can have victory over sin. And so it is His desire that we would become like Him. And we are now, it's the idea that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. That daily, each day, that we are to seek to become more set apart from the world and separated unto God. It isn't the sense that we have that, well, I'm just going to separate from the world and everything in it is evil or anything like that, because it's the whole point. You separate from the world unto God. That it's the idea that we become more and more devoted to Him, and some things that were so important to us lose their appeal, lose their shine. I know with my own life, football was always a big thing with me, and it was always such a challenge, especially Great Cup Sunday, because we have evening service, but the game would be in the fourth quarter and you'd have to leave, and it was such a struggle. But then over time the Lord just kind of worked, and it's not as, I enjoy watching a football game, but it's not a big thing anymore. And that's what happens. That's what the Lord works in our hearts, that it's part of being conformed to Christ's image, that just some things of this life that are temporal, we start to see, well, this isn't that important, and we start to lay that aside and reach forward to the things that are eternal, things that are going to really count. And that is the thought that there's some things we realize that we have to purge ourselves. And it speaks of that in 2 Timothy 2:21. If a man purge himself from these, he shall be... I should actually read it that way. I don't get it all twisted around. 2 Timothy 2:21 says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And it is that thought that the Lord has something He wants us to do in our lives, and as we live our lives in His will each day, that He guides us into that, and we want to be prepared for every good work, that we're ready for whatever He would have us to do. And so these different things that we let Him go for our good and for the Lord's glory. Now we understand that sanctification is in itself the will of God for our lives. We see this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. beginning in verse 1. It says, furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For we know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. And this thought that he gave them a direction of how to walk and to please God, that they would abound in that more and more. And that this thought of sanctification, that they would be able to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. And Paul spoke of that in 1 Corinthians, how he talked of how with his own body that he would bring it under subjection, lest that by any means after he had preached to others, he himself would become a castaway. That the thought that we that old flesh that wants to do its thing, that wants to get us in so much trouble, that we learn to bring it under control through the power of the Holy Spirit. That we learn to possess our vessel in that way. That it's the idea, rather than having our lusts of the flesh and other things control us, that instead by the power of the Holy Spirit we're able to control them. That we're able to bring them under subjection. And we understand that we're sanctified by God based on the work of Christ, based on what the Lord has done. That we understand that it speaks in Hebrews 9 of the idea of how the blood of bulls and goats, that they were to cleanse people, but it was only for a time and it never really took away the sins. But yet the blood of Christ, how it is able to purge our conscience from dead works so that we can serve the living God. That we can be changed from the inside out. That it's based on what He has done. And we understand as well the idea that the Lord wants us to be sanctified body, soul, and spirit. We see this in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, right across the page from the reference we're at. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And this idea that He wants every part of us to be sanctified, to be set apart. And it's the idea that we have in our Christian life that when we're saved, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, that He takes residence within us. But it's when the idea that we desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And we understand that the Holy Spirit is, you can't separate Him. It isn't that we get a chunk of Him upon salvation and then if we get filled, we get the rest of Him sort of thing. It's not how that works because He's a person. You can't divide Him. What it is it's not how much we have of the Holy Spirit, but how much He has of us. And that Amen. We can think of it that sometimes we can even give Him kind of the best room in the house, but then there's all these other little rooms that we kind of, these are our stuff that we hang on to, and you can't touch that. And He wants us to give those over to Him, that He wants us to be sanctified wholly, that all those parts become His residence, that He takes control of our lives. And that's what He desires. And that's, well, we understand that it's a progressive thing, that it isn't something that all of a sudden we get it, that we attain perfection on this side of glory. That we think even of Job, how he was a man that feared God and he hated evil, but yet there was still something that had to be worked through. And the Lord brought him through this great trial and test of his faith, and it was because there's some things that he needed to do because he was justifying himself rather than God. And the Lord had to just kind of, you think, well, couldn't he just told him that? Why did he have to have him go through all this trouble to do that? But it was something that he had to learn, and that's part of it that we have, that the Lord brings us through things, and it's to teach us, to train us, so that we would learn. And it's really when we go through different situations and we learn the lesson, we know once we've learned that lesson that we're not going to forget it. That if he just gave it to us by word, well, even there's some things that we understand in his word, he warns us, but of course we can be stubborn and we have to learn the hard way. But once we learn it, then we don't forget it. And we understand as well that we are sanctified through the word. The Lord said, John 17:17, he said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. That it is as we read the word of God, that as we study it, that the Lord reveals things to us where we fall short, where we need to advance in our Christian life, that we need to grow in him, that we yield to it. We confess and forsake our sins, and we draw close to the Lord in greater fellowship with him. And that's the thought that the Lord, he loved the church. He gave himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. That each day as we read it, that we're looking for something else that the Lord wants to work on in our lives. That we never get to a point in our lives where we think, well, I'm doing good. I've kind of plateaued. I don't need to grow for a while. Because usually what happens if we're not pressing forward in the Christian life, then the devil tends to start pushing us back. And we can get ourselves in a lot of trouble in a big hurry. And so we want to continue to press toward the mark in that respect. And so it's a separation, a setting ourselves apart unto God's work, putting off the old man, the sin nature, being renewed in our mind, putting on the new man, becoming Christ-like. And we understand that we won't be perfectly sanctified until we pass from this life, that that's going to be that next step of glorification, that when we have a brand new body, that we will truly be like him. We see this in 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3. This will be the last reference we look at. 1 John 3, 2 and 3. It says, 1 John 3, beginning verse 2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And it's that thought that we're the sons of God, and we're becoming more and more like the Son of God. And we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And because we have that hope in us, we purify ourselves each day, even as he is pure, that we seek to become more like him. And it's kind of the thought that we have that this is kind of where Christ is, and this is where we are in our Christian life as we begin. And it's something that we could never go in our Christian life, just say, well, I'm saved, and that's it. I've got my ticket to heaven. But what will happen is when we are glorified, then it'll be just such a shock to our system that we'll just rocket up to this point and become like him. And we can do that, but that's not what God wants. He wants us to, day by day, to become more and more like him, so that when we pass from this life, it isn't this great big rocket ride up to the top. It's almost like we're just stepping across. That we fulfill God's will in our life, that we become more and more like him, that he calls us home, and that it's not a fight, it's not a regret that we've done what the Lord would have us to do in our lives, and he's pleased with us, and that it's just a step across. And that's our desire, and that's the whole point of sanctification, that the Lord has a ministry he wants to fulfill in our lives. He wants us to accomplish something for him, that we're his representatives, and he's prepared us in a sense, upon salvation for that ministry, and then day by day He wants to continually prepare us to make us more like Him, so that we're more and more able to be used of Him. And so it is part of our lives. We know it's just as our initial salvation, our justification, is a work of God. We realize it's sanctification too. It's not us making ourselves better. It's God doing the work in us. But we have to allow Him to do that. That we have to not fight against Him, to not resist Him. But when we read the Word, that we don't just hear it, that we do it. That it becomes part of us. And that day by day, as we yield to Him by faith, we look to Him for His grace to enable us to have victory over sin, that we become more and more like Him, we become sanctified, that we become more usable for Him and more of a witness to Him, and that He is glorified through our lives more and more. And so may the Lord help us that we do this, that we look to the Lord for the strength, that we're not trying to just try to fit a set of rules to say, well, I must be a good Christian because I do these things, but instead, because we draw close to the Lord, that He changes us, that He makes us different from the inside out, and that we fulfill that thought of what Christian actually meant when it was first told. It meant little Christs, ones that were reflections of Christ. And that's what we don't want to just have the name Christian. We want to have that whole sense of it, that people say, yes, this person is a Christian because they act like Jesus did. And people see that and they give glory to God because of it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You once again for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for Your work of sanctification that You desire to do in us. Lord, we pray that You would help us to yield to You, to surrender to Your Word and to the workings of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, Lord, that we might become more and more like You each day, so that You might be more glorified through our lives, and that we would honor You and be representatives for You as You would have us to be. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you'd stand with me, turn to one more hymn. It was 297, was it not? Yeah, hymn 297. Close to Thee.